Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Screw It Up Yourself division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Are you wallpapering your car again?
No, I'm not. But this has nothing to do with me. Well, not directly anyway. This is about a recently published study from Great Britain.
Oh, you don't say.
Well, I do say. And here's what I thought was the most interesting finding.
Yeah, go ahead.
61% of women think that their man is incapable of completing even the most basic do-it-yourself project.
And I would assume your wife is among that 61%?
Of course she is. But the question is, how do you really, really know?
You mean, how do you know if your guy is a klutz?
Exactly. And it turns out there are certain signs you can look for, and I just happen to have a list of them here, of course.
What are the chances of that?
So these are signs that perhaps your guy should not be wielding a set of tools around the house. For instance.
Yeah.
Post-it notes stay up longer than the tiles that he installed. Your baby's first word is, fire!
That's good.
Everyone in the emergency room yells, Norm, when he walks in. I guess they know who he is. The first thing every guest says upon entering your house is, you smell smoke. He threw out 3 new drill bits before he realized that the drill was set on reverse. I think I've done that, actually.
I'm sure you did.
He tried to convince you that the unsteady rocking motion of the ceiling fan he installed is an oscillation feature. He wallpapers the room without removing the pictures first. That's a nice touch. After tuning up your car, he insists that running on 3 cylinders will save you gas.
It will.
And finally, Home Depot employees all chipped in to hire him, a handyman. Well, look, if you don't have what it takes to fix your car, don't feel bad. We don't either. But you can call us anyway. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Linda from Plymouth, New Hampshire.
Linda from Plymouth, New Hampshire. What's going on?
Okay, this is the deal. My husband changed the oil in his pickup before we went on a long trip. He dropped the oil cap into the engine and can't find it.
What oil cap? The filler?
Yeah.
What kind of a dunderhead would do that?
No, that's what I said. Okay, so now.
What kind of a truck is this?
It's a 2008 Toyota Tacoma.
I'll never run again. Oh. He hasn't driven it since then, has he?
Yeah.
Okay.
And every time he starts it, it sounds like a pinball machine underneath there for about a minute, and then it stops.
Really?
The filler cap is where you put the fresh oil.
Right, right.
And it's a plastic cap on
yep,
this thing?
Yep.
And, boy, you got to really go something to have this drop inside. It's like a manhole cover. He must have hit it with a hammer to get it in there.
I don't know how it happened, and we've done everything in the world to try to find it. We've been in there with flashlights. He got up on a step ladder, and I started the engine.
Yeah, you know what? It ain't in there.
Oh.
He thinks, as do you, that it somehow found its way inside the engine.
It
is.
We can't find it.
It's under the hood someplace, but it isn't inside the engine.
Okay.
Okay. No. I don't know precisely where it is. So when you start it up, what kind of noises does it make?
It just rattles around for about a minute, just like it's bouncing off something. He seems to think it's bouncing off the fan, but it's not there.
Has he ever just opened the hood?
Oh, of course he has.
And then started up?
Yeah, we actually did that this morning. He wanted me to look in the engine.
No, don't you dare do that.
No, I made him do it.
Yeah, excellent.
I started it.
I think what he should do, it probably is stuck maybe behind the water pump pulley or something like that, and maybe that's what you're hearing, that.
Yeah. It's definitely bouncing off something.
Yeah.
But then it stops.
And it stops. Well, eventually, I mean, the thing is only plastic, and eventually it's going to get chewed up. But it would be nice to find it.
Okay.
By the way, did he buy a new oil cap?
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I think that the easiest way to find this is maybe to take the serpentine belt off. You know, there's one belt that runs around everything.
A serpentine belt?
Yeah, there's a big flat belt, fan belt, that goes around the water pump, the power steering, the air conditioning, the crankshaft pulley, et cetera, et cetera. If you take that off, then you can spin everything, and you could hear this noise much quieter without the engine drowning it out.
Okay.
In other words, or you'll feel something, and you'll say, aha, that's where it wound up.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you don't find it, maybe the next time that you're in for service, have them look for it. But eventually, this will find its way out of there.
But in the meantime, is it going to cause any problems that we should be concerned about?
Jeez, I don't...
Probably not.
Probably not. I think the worst that can happen is it somehow gets in a position where it could pop the belt off. You know, if it could get between one of the pulleys that the belt goes around and the belt, it could slip the belt off.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
What kind of driving is done with this vehicle?
Well, usually it's just around town, but we just got back from a trip to Charlotte, North Carolina, so...
You're not going to be doing that in the near future, right?
No.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
So I guess we were lucky we got home then.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. No, you're good. You're good, Linda. Don't sweat it.
Okay, I won't worry about it.
All right, and when you do find it, let us know where it was hiding.
All right, I will.
Thanks.
Okay,
thanks for your call.
Okay, thanks.
See you, Linda. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Brandon in Tacoma Park, Maryland.
Hey, Brandon. How are you?
I'm good. Other than my Prius.
Oh.
What's the matter with your Prius?
Well, it's a 2007 Prius, and I just cannot figure out, this is like car owner 101,
What
is the best way to jumpstart this car? You know, I could jumpstart every car I've had since I was 16 just fine, but this one is weird.
Well, it has a battery.
It has a battery.
It's in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it, even under the hood, there may be posts where you can jump the car.
There is. And so let me tell you what's happened.
Yeah.
And it's not just me. We've had tow truck guys, you know, come out, the roadside assistance guys, and they can't jump the car with their massive truck, you know, following the instructions in the owner's manual. But then we've also had the kind of AAA guys come without the truck, just with the little box thing.
Yeah, the little jump pack, yeah.
And the little jump pack works like a charm. And I don't know why the difference.
Why are you having all these problems?
Well, I mean, each time it's a different sort of stupid mistake that I make. I mean, one time I left the lights on. The most recent time, we were about to leave on a big road trip, and I plugged in one of these tire inflator things. You know, I plugged it into the power,
it used to be the cigarette lighter. Yeah.
Exactly. And I had the car turned on, but not with the engine on.
Oh, then you left.
And proceeded to inflate all my tires. And the thing was getting weaker and weaker and sounding sadder and sadder. And I just kept on going about my merry way until it died completely.
Okay. So it's you causing all this trouble.
Yeah, we just wanted to establish that.
Right. The real problem is me.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so assuming that you're not likely to mend your ways.
Exactly.
You need to find...
I will kill batteries again.
So here's the only thing I can imagine. When the person comes with the jump pack, are they also using the connectors under the hood, or are they going directly to the battery, which is in the right kick panel in the back?
They use the ones under the hood.
Jeez, really?
Huh. Yeah.
I can't imagine what the AAA guys are doing wrong. Because, in fact, if you were to follow those wires back, they ultimately lead back to the battery. So you could jump it right at the battery.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's a bad connection under the hood someplace, and as mm-hmm. such, it's not getting where it's supposed to get. So you might, the next time it doesn't work, ask the AAA guy to do it right at the battery, like they've done for 100 years. And you won't hurt anything doing that. The reason they have the posts under the hood is just to make it more convenient.
Okay. And am I going to destroy the computer if I do this wrong? You know, if you go online and search, like, Prius jump battery, you get a lot of horror stories of, you know, don't do it wrong or you'll destroy
something.
Well,
that's true with every car. I mean, every modern car that has electronics. But yours just says more. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how much did this car cost you? Like $20,000?
Yes.
$20,000. And you've had it for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably worth $6,500 now. And the deductible. Yeah, if you burn it up, they give you a check for $500. So you'll be all set.
It's a deal.
Yeah, I remember Tommy had a Prius to test drive not long ago. And
I did?
Yes, and he did a similar thing. He left the car on all night. Didn't leave it on.
Oh, yeah, that was a little problem.
Well, left the dome light or something on, and then the next day he called me and said, I can't get the things done. And I couldn't open the hood. There was some, for some reason, I was, and I couldn't open the hatch in the back when the battery's dead.
Oh, yeah, right.
So
it's
I had
a paperweight when the battery's dead.
I had to climb in through the back seat and I had to peel off all the covering of the where the battery compartment is, and I finally got in there, and of course I still couldn't open the hatchback, and I had to run the jumper cables through the window.
Yeah.
And I finally did get it started, and I immediately confiscated the keys. So try to.
Maybe my wife should try that.
But I'm guessing there may be some bad connection under the hood that's making those jumper posts, you know, for whatever reason, inoperative.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't know why it starts with the jump pack. I don't know. It's possible the guys from AAA are just getting a crummy connection.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know what? They may be just afraid of the car.
Uh-huh. They typically are, you know. And the guy that couldn't jump it from the truck said two things in a row that seemed to be, you know, inconsistent. He said, oh, yeah, I've jumped a lot of Priuses before. And
no.
Then immediately he said, can you get me the owner's manual?
Oh, you know, Brandon, you know what you need? You need to get a jump pack of your very own.
I know.
There
I
you
know.
Go.
That's, I kind of want one. Does that make sense? Do
yeah.
people do that?
Christmas times are coming, man.
Yeah.
You might have to get three or four and stash them in like Hansel and Gretel, like breadcrumbs along the trail between home and work. Good luck, man.
Yeah, I was going to say the
lot,
same
guys.
Thing. Good luck. You're going to need it.
See you later.
Thanks, bye.
Bye. Hey, I think we didn't help him at all. 888-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. I think those AAA guys are afraid to jump the car, and they're tentative, and they're not getting a good connection, and that's why it's not starting.
Yeah.
And it's just like starting up your fear. Oh, your fear doesn't start. What happened to your fear? Anyway, hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Faye from Manhattan. How are you,
Hi,
Tom and Ray?
Hi, Faye from Manhattan. What's
Manhattan.
Going on?
Yeah.
I have a wardrobe question for you guys.
Oh. A wardrobe?
Wardrobe, yeah.
Wardrobe.
Right. Oh, we're going to be good at this.
Yeah.
I think you are.
By the way, we should divulge in advance. Regarding matters of wardrobe, that yeah. both of us are colorblind.
No, I don't think that's a problem. This is sort of akin.
Oh, you don't think it's a problem? You should see the way we dress.
Well, no, it's not a problem in terms of my.
It's not a problem for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's the story. Last week, my daughter called. She is a very adorable young woman in her early 30s, but she's short, tiny, and looks very, very young. And she went to a local tire dealer, who shall remain nameless, to have her snow tires taken off and her regular tires put on.
Mm-hmm.
And as a nice little courtesy, they said, and we'll check your brakes free. And they said to her, oh, you desperately need a brake job. Oh, my God, you need a brake job. She said, well, I don't think so. There's not that much mileage on this car. It doesn't feel like it needs a brake job. It's not making any little noises. I don't think so. They said, if you were our daughter, we would not let you drive the car without a brake job.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's in the Upselling 101 seminar.
Right. Well, and she tells me what she was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
She was wearing a little blue rain slicker.
But she looked like she was 12 years old.
It could be. Well, fortunately, she was smart enough to say, you know, I think I have to think about this and come back. She went to the dealer, and the dealer said, what are you talking about? You don't need a brake job. So my question to you is, what should a young woman like this?
I think a nose ring would go a long way to.
No, seriously, what should she wear when she goes into car places that they won't think that she's a baby and that they won't take advantage of her?
Well, she's going to find a better place to go.
Well, she does have to do that for sure. But just in general, I mean, for all the women out there that feel like they're taken advantage of, I think a power suit and flashy jewelry. Now, it doesn't have to be real. It doesn't have to be real. You can buy.
It just has to look real.
It's just a look. You can buy Cuban zirconia rings.
Like the stuff you're giving your wife.
Exactly. She doesn't know that. You knucklehead.
I'm sorry.
She would be listening.
But wait a second.
She thinks those are diamonds.
If she walks in, though, and they think that she's loaded, won't they be more likely to, you know, lay a few more bones
no,
on
no,
her?
No, I don't think so. I think there's a, you have to look at the curve. And I think up to a certain point they try to do that, but if they think you're powerful, they think you wield a lot of power.
I was thinking along your lines, either a power suit or, you know, combat boots, one or the other.
Well, I thought the nose ring, combat boots, leather jacket, you know, maybe a police uniform. Oh, how about a police uniform in the back seat? Oh, very good.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have to be the official, because it's going to be folded up.
Right, right. So if she has something like that in the back seat of the car, they're not going to mess with her.
They're not going to mess with her. If they think that she's a cop or she has a significant other that's a cop.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to do it. That's going to do it.
Okay, or the power suit. What I know she won't do is borrow her mother's suits with shoulder pads. I know shoulder pads are intimidating.
Oh, I mean, the Joan Crawford look would do it. I mean, Joan Crawford never got ripped off when she got her car fixed.
Who's Joan Crawford?
It's out of style now, so I don't think I can do that to her.
Well, good luck, Faye. But I think the police uniform on a hanger in the back.
Excellent. Thank you very, very much.
Good luck. By the way, she deserves a lot of credit for not knuckling under and having her brakes done and going someplace else. And congratulations to that dealership that was honest.
It's
a rarity. All right, look, it's time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to answer last week's puzzler.
Of course we will.
Do you remember it?
Of course I don't.
Well, I'll tell you, it was in limerick form.
Uh-huh.
No, not that kind of limerick. This was a mathematical limerick, and we'll have the details along with more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned. I hear the highway calling me time and time again. Living in the masters and boys, just like an ex of kin. I tried to settle down one time, was in my younger days. But I fell into a rambling song and it carried me away. And there's a car outside, oh, don't you know? There's a time to stay.
And even though corn curses the fact that it keeps growing ears whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's mathematically poetic puzzle.
Yeah, that was an interesting juxtaposition of things, huh? Mathematics and poetry, you want to call it poetry.
Well,
yeah.
In a manner of speaking.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you the mathematical equation, and the puzzler is to turn this equation into a limerick. So it must have the proper meter, you know. Da 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 da. And the band at the Waldorf Astoria.
It's gotta end like that. If only we could have made it end like that, it would have been a perfect puzzler.
Anyway, here's the equation. You get your pencil.
I'm gonna get one. Yeah.
Okay. Here's the numerator of a fraction. 12 + 144. Plus 20, plus 3 times the square root of 4. That's the numerator. Draw the line. That's divided by 7. Yeah. Add to that whole thing 5 times 11.
Mm-hmm.
And that expression equals 9 squared plus 0.
Plus 0. Isn't that? That's the plus 0.
And as a hint, I gave you the last line of the limerick, which goes, is 9 squared and not a bit more, which is the... squared plus 0.
And not a bit more.
You ready for the answer?
Yeah, I love this.
A dozen, a gross, and a score, plus 3 times the square root of 4. You with me so far?
I'm with you.
Divided by 7, plus 5 times 11 is 9 squared and not a bit more.
A dozen, a gross, and a score.
And, of course, if you do it, it works, right? A dozen is 12, a gross is 144, a score is 20.
Yeah.
Plus 3 times the square root of 4, which is
literal.
3 times 2, which is 6, divided by 7, plus 5 times 11, is 81.
Is 9 squared and not a bit more.
Who's our winner, man?
And the band at the Waldorf. The winner is Lynn Klein from Oxford, England, or Pennsylvania. Oxford, Pennsylvania. And for having her answer selected at random from among both the correct answers that we got, Lynn will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which she can get our 4-CD set called Field Guide to the North American Wacko.
Right, and among the callers we hear from in this collection is Dave, who somehow discovered that his keyless remote worked much better if he pointed it directly at his chin.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I believe I came up with the explanation that his chin was dispersing the beam.
To which I believe I replied, disperse this, will you?
You did. That's exactly what you said. Now, if you weren't today's winner, take heart, because we have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. In the meantime, you can ask us the questions by calling it 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Barb from Bremerton, Washington.
Hey, Barb. Barb, what's going on?
Oh, I tell you, I need help choosing a replacement for my 2001 Honda Civic. I've really enjoyed it, but it has one problem, and that's that I keep backing into things. Oh. I can't see out. I look in all of the mirrors, and I crane my neck all around, and I still just tap into things all the time.
Tap or smash?
No, tap. Although they make little nicks in my bumper, and one time I kind of shoved the bumper sideways, but I'm never going fast. It's always looking. Oh, dear, I think I've hit something.
Yeah.
Well, lots of cars now are coming with backup warning systems. Either they'll have something that goes beep, 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 which is what you need. What it does is it goes beep, 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 and the beeps get closer and closer.
Beep, 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 beep.
As you get closer and closer, and finally, when you're about to smash the guy's grill in, there's a steady sound that goes beep. So you might be able to do well with just that.
Is that something that Old Handsome and Charming could put onto my already existing car, or is that something that's got to be new?
You know, I don't know. You can buy that, I'm sure, as an accessory from our good friends at J.C. Whitney.
Uh-huh.
All right, so you could retrofit your old car so that basically it's this little sonar device that's just looking for the presence of something behind you, so you could retrofit. Or you could buy a new car that has this.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Can you recommend one that gets really good gas mileage, but I can also, I would like to see out of it.
You'd like to be able to see, too. Yeah. Well, this car, actually, that I drove recently has not only the beep, beep, beep thing, it also has a camera.
Ooh.
And it gets great mileage.
What is that?
It's a Hyundai Elantra.
Elantra. Oh, ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, doesn't it sound exotic, especially when you roll that R? No, and I was really impressed with this car.
Oh, great.
And it's, you know, the one I had was all gussied up. It had leather interior, and it had heated seats in the front and rear, and it was very comfortable. It was like $24,000, but it had everything.
I do have to tell you, though, lest you think that it's just me that is doing this, my charming husband, Handsome and Charming, was so kind the first time I bumped into things and didn't remonstrate or anything with me, and the second and third time he's starting to raise his eyebrows and think maybe that it's my fault. But then he did it too.
Maybe he did it just so you wouldn't feel so bad.
He is a good guy.
And you feel that you can't adequately see out of the back of this thing?
I really can't. I think I'm doing fine until I hear something or I feel something. And then I realize I'm not.
I'll tell you, as bad as you think this car is, almost all new cars are worse.
Oh, no.
Yeah, almost all new cars. And that's why they put the backup cameras and the sensors in, because all new cars have changed the sizes of those rear windows.
Yeah.
And they've raised what's called the belt line, you know, which is the line that's created by the line that crawls all around the car that connects all the windows, you know. So,
right.
So that belt line is getting higher on cars. So a lot of them have just less glass.
Oh,
and
lovely.
Most people don't realize, you know, how much it affects not only parking, but also changing lanes. So when you're on the highway, it's important that you can see out the back to see who's around you. So when you're changing lanes, you'll know that you know who you're cutting off. I always like to know who I'm cutting off.
Yeah.
I don't want to necessarily cut someone off that's bigger than me. You know, but with that high belt line, that unfortunately, those backup cameras and the like don't help you in that regard.
No.
They only help you when you're in reverse. So those cars are somewhat difficult to drive, and you don't know that until you've actually bought the car.
Right.
And you say, oh, I can't see. One of the best cars I drove, and I was in love with it, was the new Ford Taurus until I realized I couldn't see out the back.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So the Honda's not the only person. Okay.
But you might, you know what, you know, you may want to try a car like the Fit or a Subaru Outback, one of those cars that has a much more glass.
Thank you so much. I'll go check out those cars.
Good luck.
All right.
Oh, thank
good luck,
you very
Barb.
Much.
Take it easy. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Russell from Frankfort, Kentucky.
Hey, Russell.
Hi.
That's the capital.
That's just very true. That is the capital of Kentucky.
That's
yeah,
the
no
one thing
one
I remember
that.
From fifth grade. What's going on, Russell?
Well, I've got a 97 Ford Explorer, and the driver's door, the locking mechanism started not working. And in frustration one day, I was on the outside of the driver's door and pulled the handle very hard and broke the handle.
Okay.
So another time I was inside the car and I was getting tired of climbing over the console, getting in and out of the passenger seat, and I yanked on the driver's inside door and that handle was broken.
Well, you're having a great time.
Now, I bought the book, you know, that says this is how you fix the things, and I know how to fix the lock. The problem is I can't get the door open because I've pulled on the handles too much to open the door and get all those panels
right,
off.
Right, because you can't get the panel off unless the door is open. It's a chicken and egg thing.
Oh, yeah.
Russell, this is what happens when you lose your cool.
Yeah, it's very true. My fiance will tell you for sure that's exactly what happened. Because now it did open one time this past winter.
You should have left it open.
Right.
I know. I did. Well, I was like, ooh, it opened, so I closed the door and then it didn't open back up again.
Well, what you need to do is you're confident that you can fix this and you can replace.
Oh, I know I can fix it if I could just get the door open.
Well, you can still drive it, obviously, because you're climbing in over the console. You can take it to a body shop and they will pop the door open for you. Okay.
Well,
the way they're going to do it, actually, you can have a tow truck guy do it. The tow truck guys are very good at getting a tool down between the glass, you know, and the weather strip.
I've tried that a couple of times, and the whole locking mechanism, and apparently from what I understand, this happens with the Ford Explorer, but the little bars that hold everything together have all fallen apart, so there's not anything for you to grab the handles with.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember what kind of a car it was that we had at our shop not long ago, but what we ended off doing is what you may have to resort to. We ended off cutting a hole in the door panel.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was what you were going to
well,
say.
Well, there was nothing else to do.
There was nothing. What we did is we called a couple of junkyards and we found out that we could find that inner door panel.
Yeah.
And we went at that thing with the Sawzall.
Well, I've got a Sawzall, so I guess that's what I do. And
that's
it. It is an SUV, so those inside door panels are a dime a dozen.
Yeah, right. And if that doesn't work, you can always go at the door from the outside.
That's not a bad idea. I mean, I've lived with it for 2 years now, so.
Yeah, so you need to go to
the junkyard first.
Yeah, and see if they have the whole door, because you never know how this is going to develop. You know, this may run out of control here. So if they have a door, and if you're lucky it's the same color as yours, then you can do whatever you want. And once you get the door skin all peeled open, then you can go in there and you can undo that latch no matter what.
Yes.
But try not to break anything else. Yeah, you need a yoga class, man.
My fiance is nodding her head, Lisa, right now. She's saying, yes, I do need yoga. And
you do need yoga. Are these the only outbursts you've had related to the...
You know, she says that I'm very much like the dad in the movie The Christmas Story, you know, when he's
Darren McGavin.
With the ears.
Yes.
Bling, flangle, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. So your anger is always directed at things, but not people.
Not at people, and it's not like I get angry at things for a long time. It's
just long enough to break them.
and then laugh at myself.
No, I've been known to do that.
It's not that anymore.
No, I've been known to do that, too, and it's wonderful to take out your frustration. So if something's driving you nuts.
Well, I'm very excited, though, because now I get to get my Sawzall out and attack the door of my truck with it. So
okay,
what a deal that is.
Well, try not to cut your leg off or anything, okay?
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
See you, Russell.
Goodbye.
It's a dangerous guy.
888-CAR-TALK.
That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Oh, hi. I'm Betsy from St. James, New York.
Hi, Betsy from St. James, New York. What's shaking?
Well, my niece has gotten me quite agitated about a trip my husband and I are making to celebrate our 50th anniversary cross-country to Portland, Oregon for our grandson's graduation. And we're driving a 1991 Lexus sedan with over 200,000 miles on it. It's a nice old war horse, and my husband loves it. We're only going one way, and we'll fly back.
And the car is
going to leave the car?
The car's going to be a graduation present for the nephew.
Well, yeah. If it's not a terrible thing to give a grandson, maybe we'll do it. Or we'll give it to his school.
So when's the graduation?
It's June 10th.
So you better leave this afternoon.
My niece thought I'd better call you and find out whether you thought it was a good idea. We're pretty able-bodied. And, you know, after you've been married for 50 years, there have been a few times when you've been hitchhiking on the side of the road because of a car.
There have been, huh?
Yeah.
When was the last time?
Well, it was a while ago.
1974?
Years ago.
What kind of shape is this car in?
I don't know one end of a car from another, but it's been working. My husband took it up to Boston last week for a trial run.
And?
And it made it.
But it's got 200,000 miles on it. Everything suggests that you're ready for a major breakdown. But that being said, if you had the thing checked out...
Yeah, it's been to a very expensive Lexus hospital for a couple of days, and they said it was all right.
Was it an outpatient thing, or was it...
Well, they kept it for 3-4 days, and I guess it cost a
bit. That must have cost you.
I bet it did.
Yeah, I mean, there are always unforeseen things that could happen. For example, the fuel pump could go.
Yeah.
There's no way that anyone could predict that or with any kind of certainty know that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, so things like that can go. A water pump can go. The radiator could spring a leak.
And what would you do if that happened and you're halfway there?
Well,
fly.
I guess I'd get out and hitchhike again.
No,
the old time.
No, you'll get stabbed.
Yeah.
See, it's too bad you can't buy an open-ended plane ticket.
Yeah.
Plane ticket that would allow you to get on at the nearest airport.
We'll do that if we have to. We're not going through Death Valley. We're going on the northern route by Mount Rushmore and all these places we've never seen, Yellowstone.
Oh, so you want... Oh, so I see what's going on here.
Sure.
Not only are you going out to the nephew's graduation.
Grandson.
Grandson's graduation. Right, of course.
It's going to be a great
ride. It's going to be a vacation.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh. I won't have to cook for 2 weeks. I can't get my old man to camp, which is even nicer.
No, he wants to stay in hotels.
Hotels.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be staying in lots of hotels while you're waiting to get the car fixed. I would try to leave a few days earlier.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, because if you didn't, you might have to miss part of your vacation if something were to happen.
Yeah, we have to get there for that graduation.
Right,
yeah.
So by hook or crook, you want to get there, but let's say some small mishap occurs... And you've given yourself no extra time, then you're going to, in order to get to the graduation on time, you'll have to sacrifice part of your vacation.
Yeah.
And you know you're only getting that old geezer out there once.
That's right. That's right.
So you could have left last week. That would have been the right thing to do. But I would leave as soon as possible.
All right. We'll see what we can do. And thank you for your advice.
Well, have a wonderful time. It'll be a wonderful trip, I'm sure.
I think it'll be very, very special.
And I want to see the look on your grandson's face when you hand him the keys to that old clunker.
Thanks a lot.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, look, before we get to this week's new puzzler, we have to take a short break.
This is what we call station identification.
No, not when we're on. It's called station obfuscation.
Oh, yeah.
They mumble the call letters hoping that no one will hear them. But when we come back, the new puzzler will be from my Tommy's New Ride series.
My new car.
Yes, indeed. And we'll be back with that and more of your car questions in just a minute. So please stay tuned. Well, it had big sweeping fins coming out of its fanny. V8 engine and a push button tranny. Two-tone paint, golden chrome and light cream. Oh, representing the American dream. It was shiny and new, looking like a pavement dealer. And even though hardcore budget cutters say no way to raising the retirement age whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
From my new ride series.
That's right, it is. And this was sent in by a fellow named Scott Murphy, although I get to monkey around with it a little bit, as you would expect. Pay attention.
Yeah, sure.
Some of our listeners may not know this, even though it's been all over every media outlet imaginable, but yeah. Tommy has a new car.
Yeah.
Well, not exactly new. It's 19 years old, but it's new enough to have lots of things that, you know, his other car didn't have.
It's not brand new?
No. Looks good, though, doesn't it? You know, it has, like, heat and lights. And
you told me it was new.
Windshield wipers and all that. And it also has one of those newfangled six-digit odometers, you know, that can register as many as 999,999 miles. So you could go to all nines. You'll be getting there someday.
Yeah.
You know, if you were sufficiently persistent, I guess.
Yeah.
But none of these odometers, by the way, read tenths of a mile, just whole miles, right?
Yeah.
You're aware of that. The trip odometer does that thing. So anyway, one fine morning last week, Tommy gets into his new car to drive to work. He fires up his engine.
Uh-huh.
Work. And before pulling out of the driveway, he notices something interesting. His odometer reading is a palindrome. You know what a palindrome is?
No.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, I do.
It's a number that reads the same forward as it does backwards. For example, if his odometer read 175,571 miles, that's a palindromic number. 175,571 reads the same forward and backwards.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, he says to himself, and off he goes. Naturally, he's in no hurry to get to work. So he stops at his favorite cafe and gets his usual quadruple espresso macchiato. And about an hour later, he shows up at Car Talk Plaza. Just as he pulls into his reserve for the Big Cheese parking spot, he notices that his odometer reading again is a palindrome.
Wow.
And no, the odometer is not broken, but it is indeed a palindromic number once again. So he's gotten in the morning, seen a six-digit palindromic number, driven some number of miles, not many, because he only drove for an hour, not even. Most of the time he was drinking coffee. And his new odometer reading is again a six-digit palindromic number or reading. So here's the question. How far did Tommy drive that morning? Right?
Yeah.
Now, if you think you know the answer, right, and you may know the answer right off, you know, write it on a Gibson Firebird X limited edition electric guitar. I need one of these with lightweight, sorted swamp ash body, rock maple neck, and curly maple fretboard, of course, three individually controlled mini humbucker pickups, hexaphonic piezo bridge pickup, low noise preamplifier, upgradable pure analog multiprocessor onboard effects engine, and a Shure grip handle so I could El Kabong my brother over the head with it and send it to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Now, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. How's it going? This is Ben from Brooklyn.
Hey, Ben from Brooklyn.
Ben from Brooklyn.
What's going on?
Well, let me give you a little bit of background info before I get into the car issue, okay?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so I've been driving since I was 17. I'm 35 years old now, and the whole time I've been driving, I've always driven standard transmission. And one of the things that that you obviously always have to do whenever you drive stick shift, if you pull up at a red light, obviously you can't keep the car into, you know, first gear. You have to put it in neutral,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So last year, my wife and I decided to get a new vehicle. She does not drive stick shift, and we wanted to be able to get a car that she could actually drive. So we decided on a 2010 Toyota Yaris, which is lovely, wonderful, and for the most part works great. But I have a little habit, and the habit is this. When I'm driving this vehicle,
I know
when
do.
I pull up at a red light,
you put it in neutral.
I put the car in park. It's kind of had one of these habits that developed, you know, while I was driving stiff shift.
Yeah.
Now, for my wife, it drives her absolutely insane, and she's convinced that I'm going to break the vehicle.
Because you're putting it in park?
Because I'm putting it in park at red light. She's saying you're putting it in park so frequently that, you know, you're just going to wear down the transmission.
No.
She's wrong, but you might wear out other components. You could wear out the transmission, but you might wear out other components like the axles.
Okay.
You know, because every time you transition from park to drive, you go through reverse. So you try to turn those things backward for a split second. So, and then you go into drive and they go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you do that a few hundred thousand times and it adds up.
Yeah, but it's gotta gotta be a couple of hundred thousand.
Yeah, I would say, and it may do nothing. I mean, you know, back in the old days when engines idled at like 950 RPM, yeah, you would do a lot more damage. Now this thing probably idles at 500.
Okay.
And it's got a tiny little motor, so you're not hitting those drivetrain components with that big jolt of power.
So don't worry about it.
So don't worry, but I am concerned that you can't get over this, Ben.
Right. well, hold on here. There's one piece of information that I have not told you yet.
Ah, go ahead.
And that is that about 6 months ago, I started having difficulty, say, one out of every 100 times I put the thing in park. If I'm at a red light, I have a difficult time actually getting it back into drive. Now, keep in mind, this is a 2010 Toyota Yaris. It's practically straight off the lot. So there is a possibility that my wife is right. I may be slowly breaking the vehicle. Is this a possibility based on what you just told me?
No, I don't think so.
No, I think the trouble getting it out is that you're not stepping on the brake pedal firmly enough, because you have to do that to unlock the shifter.
So that could be it. It could be that I'm just not pushing on the brake hard enough.
Yeah.
Could well be.
Yeah, I think what you need to do is tie your right hand behind your back.
And you
need to, so if you're going to, just see, if you're going to take this thing and put it in park, you're going to have to do it with your tongue.
Gotcha, yeah. Well, you know, I could Jimi Hendrix it there. You know what I'm saying?
You
That's
could.
A possibility.
What else do you do that annoys your wife? I'm concerned here.
Very true.
And I'm concerned
well, what if I were to put it in neutral instead of park?
Oh,
sure. That would be half as bad.
Half as bad. Okay. Well.
Yeah. You could start with that.
Okay. Gotcha. So basically, first thing is try to break the habit, and then the second one, try not to break the car.
Right. It's exactly. So shifting it into neutral would be the equivalent of like chewing Nicorette gum. You're not really going to quit, but you're going to try.
Gotcha.
Okay, well, try that first.
All right, I'll try it, guys. Thanks so much for your help.
All right, Ben, good luck, man.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Well, it may be that if he stops doing this, he's going to do some stuff that really ticks his wife off.
Yeah.
Yeah, 'cause
and there's no way to tell that.
No, your wife's never able to tell. 888 Car Talk.
That's right.
888-22. He can fool some of the people
all
the
time.
227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. Who's this?
This is Reese from Rockwell City, Iowa.
Reese.
Risa.
R-I-S-Z-A? No, not even close.
Try again.
R-E-Q-F-B.
R-I-S-A.
It's R-I-S-E with two dots over the E.
R-I-S-E with two dots.
Two dots over the E?
Scandinavian name?
It's some kind of Germanic name. My grandma was German.
Ah, what does it mean?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Okay, well, whatever it is. Thanks a lot for calling.
we're with you, Reese. What's going on?
Well, I have a really old vehicle. I have a 1978 Ford Bronco.
Oh.
And when the gas prices went up so high, the vehicle only gets about 6 miles to the gallon. So I parked it, and it stayed parked for a little over a year. Then when I went to go to try to drive it, the clutch plate rusted to the clutch. I mean, it rusted together. This is a stick shift.
The clutch plate, the disc, rusted to the transmission shaft.
Yeah.
Or rusted to the flywheel or the pressure plate. One of those three things.
Yeah, all I know is that...
You can't disengage it.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
Ah.
I took it to a couple of different mechanics, and both of the mechanics... Well, one of them told me that I needed to find, like, a truck loading dock, and I needed to crash the vehicle into the dock at a low speed. Okay, and I think, well, this guy is, like,
Wacko.
I'm going to take it to somebody else. So I took it to another guy, and he told me that I needed to find a tree and smash it into a tree. and I'm like, these guys are certified mechanics, okay?
Interesting guys.
They're not far off. What they're trying to accomplish is breaking the rust bond.
Yeah.
Okay? So there are lots of ways you can do it, but driving it into a tree would work.
Okay. I thought they were full of it.
No.
What you've got to do, essentially, is get the vehicle to stop moving with the engine still moving. Hence the tree. And what that does, it essentially, it'll stall the thing out, but in doing so, it may break it loose.
Uh-huh.
And you don't have to do it very hard.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think of a more benign way to do it. Well, maybe if you just got the thing nosed up to a tree.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, it doesn't make a difference what gear it's in, but I would probably just leave it in first gear and just turn the key, start it up.
Right. Can't they just, like, take it apart?
You want to do that? Sure, they could take the transmission out, but that's going to cost a lot of money.
Well,
it's an all-wheel drive vehicle,
yes.
Right? And, it's heavy. The transmission and transfer case are heavy, so in order to take that stuff out, it's going to cost you many hundreds of dollars.
Yeah,
and it's worth it to just try all these crazy things. And one of them is going to work.
Yeah, but don't crash into anything. I would avoid that.
I don't know how I'm going to explain it to my neighbors when they see me out in the yard crashing into the trees.
Oh, you'll have to do it at night.
<I've>...
Oh, yeah, no, don't do it during the daytime.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Risa, you got to do it at night.
Okay.
Yeah, good luck.
All right, thank you.
Take some photos.
All right.
And don't tell them you heard it from us. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Todd calling from Thief River Falls, Minnesota.
Hi, Todd. From where?
Thief River Falls, Minnesota.
Thief River Falls, okay.
Wow.
Thief, like somebody who steals?
Oh, thief.
Thief.
Thief,
thief
yep.
River. Oh, boy.
Thief River Falls.
Why is it named that?
Because supposedly one Indian tribe stole land from another Indian tribe.
Oh,
really? I thought Native Americans believed you couldn't own the land. I thought that was one of the basic tenets of...
They might not own it, but they certainly occupy it.
How about maybe it got stolen from them? Anyway, Todd, what's happening?
I have an interesting cosmetic question for you guys today.
Oh, cosmetic.
I have a 97 Honda CR-V. And
I thought you were going to ask if Tommy uses a blush or not, but go ahead. 97 CR-V.
It is a fantastic car, runs great, and it looks like a junkyard Frankenstein special.
Perfect.
That's my kind of car.
Some of the doors are kind of mauve-y pink. The roof is completely oxidized and whitish. The hood's kind of reddish. Some of the bumpers are black. Some of them have faded to gray. And it's kind of this weird Frankenstein-looking car.
Oh, I know. I see the question right now. Can you paint it yourself? Is that what you're in?
No, that's not his question.
It should be.
Painting it or something cheaper than that.
Something cheaper than painting.
Contact paper?
Let's see, what could you do?
I'll tell you.
You'd like it to look neat.
Absolutely.
You'd like it to be all one color?
Absolutely, or at least close enough that it doesn't look like it's somebody went to a junkyard and grabbed a door off a different car.
Which, of course, is exactly what they did. Well, there are lots of places that will paint a car for pretty short money.
Okay.
Like Earl Scheib and Mako and those places. I mean, as long as there's no body work to be done, it can be relatively cheap. They're just going to sand it down, and they're going to paint it. What's your budget like?
$200.
How many cans of Krylon spray paint can you buy for? What are those, $3.99 a can? But here's one thing you can do if you're up for it.
Okay.
You ready for this? And you can go on the internet and find out how to do this. There's a site you can go to that tells you how to paint your own car, okay, using rollers.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why does that feel scary to me?
That's going to be exciting.
I think so, too. And you get the neighborhood kids to help.
I got 5-year-old twins. I can put them to work.
Perfect.
Absolutely. They'd love it. Are you kidding me? Help Dad paint the car. And there is a way to do it, actually, where you put successive coats of paint on and you sand between each coat. And then the final coat, you actually sand it down to dull. And then you buff it. And you bring the shine up. You'd be, it's going to take you like 9 months to do it, but it'd be, I'm telling you, it would look great when you're all done. You know, alternatively, you could just paint it with house paint. Don't laugh. House paint is pretty tough stuff.
Sure.
You know?
So get some nice eggshell or something on there.
I think so. I'd put maybe some low luster and put an air conditioner in one of the back windows. You know, something about 5,000 BTU and you'll be all set.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
Wouldn't it? Yeah, but
okay. Let us know how you make out.
Definitely send us photos. But you can paint your own car.
I will. I will definitely look into that. I figure you guys must have had some ugly cars back in the day that
used
that
to have. What do you mean used to have?
Oh no, we still got them.
We still got them.
Well, good luck, and we're dying to know how it works out.
I will send pictures when I'm done.
Great. See you, Todd.
Thanks a lot.
Anyway, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher. Fenolosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Michaela Ross. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor just back from the Carteret Ham Croquette, Flagolette, Crepe Suzette, Creme Rosette, Beef Fleurette, Chia Pet Lunch Regret is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our cruise director is Eaton Doolittle. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our director of disaster preparedness is Evan Stubetzi. Our short order cook is Diego Varese. Our convenience store operator is El Mercado. Our collection agent is you effing well better. Our repo man is Darius Grabham. Our workman's compensation advisor is Landon McGroin. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Lewis Dewey, known to the birds in Harvard Square who fly north, see us, and turn around and fly south again as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Ditto. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1121, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, are the big three back?
Well, columnist Jim Montevalli says after the bankruptcies and near-death experiences, the American big three are suddenly producing very competitive cars.
And by the big three, he means Ford, GM, and Fiat.
Exactly. Anyway, you can read Jim Montevalli's opinion and then tell us your own right over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though dog trainers look longingly at their muzzles whenever we say it, this is NPR.